Good morning. The reading comes from Mark chapter 12, reading from verse 41. And this can be found in page 1018 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn in our Bibles then to Mark chapter 12, and we are at the end of the chapter now. This is the last sermon on Mark for a little while. We're going to have a bit of a break over the summer. We're beginning a new series next week, looking at the Lord's Prayer. Our summer series will take a different line from the Lord's Prayer, and we'll be focusing on that. So we'll have a bit of a rest from Mark's Gospel, and then we'll come back at the end of the summer and continue the story. But we're in Mark 12, right at the very end, and I was a bit torn about how to divide this up, whether to put this with last week's verses or whether to focus in on it. And the reason for that confusion was that this lady who's mentioned here, this widow, this poor widow, confuses me a little bit. I don't know if she confuses you, but she confuses me. She confounds me a little bit, this lady. And it's quite difficult to know how to approach this episode in Jesus' life. So what I want to do as we look at the widow's offering this morning is to think a little bit about the options that we have in terms of how we come and look at these verses. Three options I want to give you this morning to think about how to understand these verses. The first option is this. This is an example. This lady, she is a brilliant example of how to give. Many, many preachers will preach that this is an example of how one should give to the Lord's work. This lady comes to the temple to give, and she is poor. We're told that very explicitly. We're told about the rich people throwing in large amounts, but the poor widow, verse 42, comes and puts in two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Basically, Jesus sees the poor widow has put in proportionally more than what everybody else was putting in, and basically was giving her all. So we could use this as a model, couldn't we? We could say, now, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, if you're going to be a good follower of Jesus, then you should be giving your all. People of St. Thomas's, if you're going to be a good follower of Jesus, like this lady, then you should be giving your all. You know that there are churches in the world today where if you want to join the church, one of the things that happens is that you sit down with the pastor and the pastor looks at your bank account and tells you how much he thinks you should be giving. Well, not the vestry meets tomorrow night, but that isn't on the agenda of introducing that. But some people use verses like this in a way that isn't particularly helpful. And if you think about it realistically, if this is to be an example of how to give, hardly any of us, if at all, any of us would meet the standard, would we? Because none of us gives our all. We don't give all our time, and we don't give all our treasure to God's work. Most of our money goes on paying the electric and gas bills, or will do, come the autumn. So we can't it can't possibly be about that or mean that. That doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't give to God. The principle that is commonly given and traditionally given is that we should be aiming for giving 10% of our income to the Lord's work. And no pastor checks up on what anybody gives. No pastor checks up on how much is given by person X. No pastor should be looking at the accounts and seeing how much money is given by people. You know what? The amazing thing is that responsibility is given to us as individuals to determine what we will give under God as we pray and as we seek Him and as we decide. As this lady had decided, she decided to give her all, basically. We'll come to that a bit more about that in a moment. So we need to be careful about using her as an example of how to give. The truth is this, we should be givers. We should give to the work of God. If you're not already giving to St. Thomas's, to the work here, then see our treasurer, Miller, who's sitting, he doesn't know I'm going to say this, but Miller, who's sitting here in the second row next to his wife, Alison. Come in, if you would like to be giving to the Lord's work, or you would like to give more, or you would like to give your all, or you would like to leave a legacy, then talk to Miller about how you might do that. But that's the first option. That's the first option of a way of looking at these verses. But there is a second option. There is a second option, and it's this. She's an example of how to give too much. Now, who would have thought you'd ever hear a preacher saying it might be an example of giving too much? Can you ever give too much to the church? But maybe she is an example of how to give too much. Why would we say that? Why would we look at that? If you were here last time we looked at these verses, if you just look at the verse before these verses, what does it say? Talking about the scribes, they devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers, such men will be punished most severely. So could it be that this woman, rather than being an example of good, is actually an example of a victim? Could she have been a victim of the scribes' teaching? You need to be giving your all and giving more. Maybe there were voices in her ears. Maybe there was scolding going on. Maybe there was condemnation going on because she wasn't giving enough, and she came and she gave her all. How terrifying that is. Jesus is drawing attention to the widow as someone who gives too much. We should never expect someone to give all that they have to live on, especially when the scribes, those who Jesus had characterized as people who devour widows' houses, basically taking the homes from the widows in order to finance their lifestyle. The scribes and the others of affluence find it easy to contribute. In fact, they find it easy to contribute. They show off. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Yeah, sometimes we can be ostentatious with our giving. Jesus says to us, when you give, do it discreetly. It's like when you pray. When you pray, you shouldn't be making a big show of it. You should go into your room and pray quietly. You don't do it to show. Similarly with our giving and with our good deeds. We do that because it's just the right thing to do. We might feel good about it, but we shouldn't be showy about it. But here, the rich people are throwing in large amounts of money. Now, someone has asked the question, how did they know how much money was being given? It's probably the case that money was being put into pots or thrown into pots, and you could tell by the ring what was thrown in at that particular point. So if it was a little penny, you can imagine it just makes a little ding. But if it was a big, heavy, gold coin or whatever, it would have made a much clunkier sound. That's maybe how people knew what people were giving. But the rich people were being ostentatious about it. They were showing off. But actually, what the rich people should have been doing, they shouldn't have expected the widow to be giving her all. They should have been looking after her. They should have been taking care of her, not expecting or even accepting her gift from her poverty. Now, she would want to give, and it's right that all of us should want to give as much as we possibly can, but we need to be much more careful and much more sensitive than the rich people in this incident are. So here's, we have an indictment of the people and systems that favor the rich and prey upon the weak. The Bible teaches us that God, the Lord, has particular regard for those who are poor. But it's really difficult to get over the sense that in this passage, at least, Jesus, whatever critique he may level at the temple, nevertheless lifts this woman up, not as victimized, but as laudable, as he compares her gift favorably to all the others. So there's probably an element of both these things going on. She is an example. She is an example, a good example of giving, but she's also a victim. And she's a sign that maybe there is a place where giving too much, giving so that you're left destitute, is probably not a wise thing to be doing. So that's option two. And we need to be careful about it. It speaks of the danger of exploiting others, exploiting other people. And we as a church, we as the people of God, need to always consider those in our midst who are vulnerable, that we do not exploit them. But there is a third option. There is a third option. And we need to, I think, probably hold all the three of these options together. The third option is this. And it comes at the beginning of these verses. Jesus sits down opposite the place where the offerings were put. I find this fascinating. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offering was happening. And he didn't, when we talk about money, when we are considering money, we sort of avert our eyes. We don't really want to talk about it. We don't want to know what other people give. But Jesus is watching the crowd as they gather and as they begin to give their money. He's watching them. He's watching them. He's looking out for them. He's seeing what is happening. He's a people watcher. It's great people watching, isn't it? It's a lovely thing to do. There's appropriate places to people watch and inappropriate places to people watch. But it can be a really learning thing for us to be doing, to be watching people. And Jesus is watching. This weekend is one of those amazing musical extravaganza of a weekend with the Glastonbury Festival happening in Somerset. And it's an amazing spectacle as well as a festival. 200,000 people gathered in a field to watch Paul McCartney do 80 years of age. 80 years of age, doing nearly 3 hours of Paul McCartney's greatest hits. I couldn't sit up and watch him last night. I fell asleep. I'm imagining he's a bit exhausted today following that feat. What an amazing thing for him to do. But as I watched it last night, and I'm watching these 200,000 people singing their hearts out, these verses came to mind. And the reason is this: Jesus is watching them. Every single person in that crowd, Jesus loves them and cares for them and knows them and wants them to know how much they are loved by the one who made them. Jesus watches people. And he watches the rich people do their thing and be a bit showy in their giving. And he sees this little widow give the little amount of money that she has got. See, maybe Jesus isn't using her as an object lesson. What if Mark isn't trying to take from her story some kind of theology or theological argument? Perhaps the point of this recording this incident isn't to compare her with the others or between her offering and that of the rich people, but rather The focus is on the notable fact that Jesus notices her. Jesus notices her. He sees her. Isn't that amazing? Jesus sees the little widow who gives all that she can. She notices him. He notices her. So much so that Jesus talks about her. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live in. Maybe that's one of the things he wants the disciples to learn. Just notice her. Look out for people like that. Look out for the little people, the seemingly insignificant people. The people who don't mean very much in worldly terms, but are like the gems or the stars in the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ, what we tend to do is we tend to elevate the people who are up front. That's why lots of people want to be up front. Not lots, but some people want to be up front. They see that as being the main thing. In church, it's not. The main thing isn't what we do in church. The main thing is what we're doing out there in our places of work, in our places of study, in our homes. That's where God's work is at its greatest. What we come to do, and we might do this over lunch, is we come together to meet and talk and share what God is doing in our lives and where we've seen God at work. In the small things, not necessarily in the great things. There might be big things and great things that we see God doing, but maybe it's just the small things where God makes the big impact in our lives. And maybe we need to look out a little bit more for where God is active. Active in that which has been forgotten or ignored or overlooked. Maybe there are people and things that God would invite us to notice and recognize and honor. Sometimes we make causes an issue or a cause. People become something to protest against, rather than seeing people as being people who God loves. Whether God agrees with them, he loves them regardless. And we too ought to be that kind of people. Wherever people are at, whatever they think, whatever they believe, they are significant in the economy of God. They're important to him. The least and the last and the lost. And so God's people are called to be people who stand up for the poor. It's easy to stand up in church and talk about the poor. We're going to help them and we're going to stand up for them. But knowing the poor, taking time to care about them, caring about a specific person, that is much harder, a much harder call and much harder work. Now, all of us have days when we feel that we are invisible. Do you ever have a day like that? Nobody cares. We're unremarkable. We're not worthy of attention. Or maybe we do feel we're worthy of attention, but nobody's paying us any attention. All of us feel like that. All of us will have days like that. Yet Jesus sees us all of the time. He deems us worthy of God's attention all the time. And he frees us to give the same compassionate regard to others. It's one of the joys of coming to Christ. When we come to know him, we know that we're loved and we're cared for. That we matter in his economy. And so when we know that we matter, that should shape and change how we are around other people. We say everyone who comes to us, everyone who comes to our front door, our home matters, is important. Whatever they're bringing, whatever they're delivering, they are precious to God. When we don't notice people, sometimes we forget about or ignore them. And there's sometimes we come across people that are really annoying. You ever come across someone who's really annoying? We had an example of this last night. It was open. It was late night at the zoo. You could go to the zoo if you remember. So we got an invitation to go to the zoo. We went to the zoo, and it was lovely because we'd never been to the zoo in the evening. Went to see our favourite, saw the otters, and they put in all sorts of entertainment. You could have a drink and you could have a burger and stuff, have something to eat. But there was a person there who's obviously one of the greeters who was on stilts, and she was great. She was really cheery and really friendly, and she just. It was one of those situations that you didn't want to make eye contact, because if you made eye contact with them, you were going to have a conversation. You were going to have a conversation. And we were going, no, we don't want to. We're like, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact. And we managed. There was a moment where it felt like she was deliberate. She wanted to keep coming in our orbit. She was hovering around us. She wanted to have a conversation with them. We were going, no, we don't want to. We don't want to. Let's go and see the creatures over here. And I felt bad about it as I got home last night. I thought, but I would have, I would have engaged and I would have talked. I would have been like this. Hello. But I would have engaged and had a long conversation with her, and that would have been the wrong focus last night, because it was like a date night that we were on. So it wasn't right. She was just doing, I guess she was doing her job. Was she annoying? Slightly. And there will be people like that around us. There will be people like that in church that we don't want to have much to do with, that we don't click with, that we don't feel connected with. But you know something? When we encounter that, we need to remind ourselves, Jesus notices that person. And Jesus loves that person. So if Jesus notices them, cares for them, and loves that person, then who am I to do any less than what Jesus would do with them and for them? So that's a sort of gentle rebuke to myself, to remind myself that's what God calls us to do. So there are three options here on the table for us. The widow's offering, it is a beautiful example of how to give. Give what God calls you to gloriously and wonderfully. Let's not exploit people. Let's be careful about how we handle people who are vulnerable, that we don't expect people to give too much from their meager resources. And let's be careful about that. And let's be people who give all we can in the time that we have. One of the most precious gifts, even if we don't have a lot of money, one of the most precious gifts all of us have is time. Time gets gobbled up now, much more so in the past. You know, in the olden days, remember the olden days? Like 5 years ago? In the olden days, we could spend all our time doing church things. Church would have been morning and evening on a Sunday. And we would have been midweek, we would have done stuff, and there would be Bible study, and we would have been serving away. We thought nothing about doing that. We spent so much of our time. But in the last 30, 40 years, so much other stuff has crept in terms of occupying our time. Much more entertainment, many more TV channels to watch, much more streaming to imbibe, and much more entertainment available to us generally. Expectation of how we spend our time. And people are working harder as well, longer hours. So people are more tired, so they don't have the time and the energy. So when we're doing an audit of how much we give in terms of our money, our treasure, we also need to do an audit about how much time we're giving in the service of the Lord. It's not just about money. It's about when we give our all, where we give as much as we can, it's about thinking, what am I praying to the Lord to show me? How much do I need to be giving you, Lord, in my treasure and in my time? Will you do that this week? Will you ask the Lord, am I giving what you need me to be giving, what you're calling me to be giving in my time and my treasure? And then the very last thing that we might learn from this lady's offering is to value people. Just value people as God's children. As God's treasure. They are precious to him. So whether people are part of the church, whether they seem significant or they seem insignificant, or they're quiet or they're shy or they're outgoing and extrovert, all of us are precious to God. And the same is true of everybody that we encounter this week. Let's view people not as causes to be won, but as God's children, made in his image, precious to him, so precious he sent his son to die for us and for them. Will we do that, church? Will we be a people that take seriously some lessons from this widow's offering. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so much for this woman. We thank you that Jesus noticed her. And we pray that we too would follow his example, that we would be on the lookout for those who seem the least and the least important, least significant, and that we would honor them and bless them. Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to give what we can, what you call us to give, to be as generous as we can, and help us not to feel condemnation about any of that. Help us, Lord, to see that as part of our discipleship, to make that determination with you about how we use our time and how we use the treasure you give to us. And then we think, too, about the way that Jesus so beautifully noticed this woman. May we be a people who notice others and who engage with them, who are interested in others. There will be times when we need to stand back and we don't need to engage all the time everywhere with everybody, but there will be times when you point particular people out to us and you will prompt us in the power of your Holy Spirit to be in conversation with them. Some of us here are evangelists and we do that inspired by your Holy Spirit. We speak out, we make contact, we want to know where people are at. But even those of us who are not, who don't have that gift, Lord, make us a people who are interested in others, seeking out those who are in need, the vulnerable, those who are on their own, those who nobody else is talking to. Help us to watch out, to notice, to be inviting and encouraging and supportive in word and in practical deeds too. And may all of these things be true for us as a church, that we all give in time and treasure, and we all value people as your children. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.